Good afternoon, my dear. I'm so glad you were able to come over at such short notice. I hope you had a pleasant ride over. Yes, it really is a most delightful afternoon. Please, take a seat next to me on the chaise longue, and I shall explain why I wanted to see you. I dare say my summons was quite a surprise. I hope you don't mind helping yourself to tea and cake. For reasons which will soon become apparent, we will not be disturbed by any servants today. Now, as your dear mamma's dearest friend and your godmother, I have always taken a special interest in your education and development. Perhaps if your upbringing had been more conventional, I would not have paid you such close attention. But the death of your father when you were so young and the absence of any siblings means that since infancy you have led a rather solitary life. And this has always troubled me. I tried to persuade your mother to send you away to school so you could mix with boys your own age, but she would not countenance it, preferring to employ elderly male tutors instead. I believe she could not face the prospect of your termly absences. As you know, she has grown to rely on you a great deal, and I think this weighs heavily on you. In addition, you will soon come into possession of a very considerable fortune and will take on the responsibility of running a large, prosperous estate. I think you feel these burdens greatly. You are young, but you show none of the vigour and heartiness that a youth of your wealth and status typically displays. It is sad to see you go through your days with no respite from your duties and responsibilities. And that is why I have invited you here today. There are no secrets between myself and your mother, and we have been discussing your predicament at great length. We have concluded that your careworn and troubled demeanour has its origins in the absence of male exemplars in your life. It means that you have missed out on important elements of your development. You do not drink, you do not gamble, you do not ride to hounds. You have no interest in activities that might provide respite from your cares, activities which masculine company, when you were younger, might have led you to. In particular, you have received no real guidance pertaining to matters of, how can I put this delicately? Matters of your sexual development. Oh, my dear. There's no need to be embarrassed. It is a delicate issue, but it is one that your mother and I agree should be addressed as soon as possible. Oh, there's no need to look so worried. I assure you that when we have finished here today, you will leave with a spring in your step and a smile on your face. But your mother made it very clear that I was to be in complete charge of the proceedings, and that you would defer to me at all times. We will be traversing some challenging terrain together. Our expedition requires a leader, and I have been assigned that role. But I can assure you, it will not be an unpleasant journey. Quite the opposite, in fact. So, shall we begin? I will take that nod as assent. First, we need to establish your current state of knowledge and experience. Your mother and I have been talking to the servants. It seems that you have made not one single untoward advance on any of them. You display a degree of self-control not shared by many young men of your class. We can perhaps ascribe your behaviour to the austere moral education provided by your elderly tutors, together with the lack of male companionship to which I alluded earlier, and your natural sense of decency, of course. However, your record is not entirely unblemished. Early one morning, several weeks ago, your mother secretly observed you on your knees peeping through the keyhole into the cook's room. She only had a few seconds to take in the scene before something seemed to disturb you and you scurried off. Honesty is almost always the best policy in such matters. So, will you be honest with me now? Were you peeping through the keyhole in the hope that you would catch a glimpse of the cook in a state of undress? Oh, come, come. While Molly is not in the first bloom of youth, she is nevertheless a very attractive woman. Her form is remarkably voluptuous, is it not? She is also blessed with a pretty face, rosy complexion, and teasingly provocative smile. What's more, she is friendly and good-humoured. No doubt she would make a lively and energetic bedfellow, would she not? So, inflamed with sensuous thoughts, it seems you attempted to view the object of your desire, sprawled upon her bed in the soft early light of a summer's morn. Was your little expedition a success? Were you rewarded with a glimpse of her nakedness? Your downcast eyes suggest to me that Molly's charms were indeed laid bare for your inspection. And, assailed by voluptuous images of her large, pale, veiny breasts, her shapely, ample bottom, and that bewitching grove between her alabaster thighs, did you return to your room to indulge yourself? You look puzzled. You do not know what I mean by indulge in this context. I shall ask the question more directly. Did you employ your hand to give yourself sexual gratification and release? You still appear confused. It is as your mother and I concluded. Your sheltered upbringing means that you remain unaware of the blissful sensations afforded by the act of self-love. That is a fault which must be remedied. Tout de suite! When you inherit, your great wealth and handsome bearing will not go unnoticed by the young ladies of the county. Be in no doubt that in a few short years you will be married to a willing playmate, keen to accompany you in the luscious pleasures of copulation. But what to do until then? I firmly believe that absence of a partner should not mean absence of pleasure. As you know, my husband, Mr. Shaftesbury, died 10 years ago. But I was yet in my prime, so his untimely passing did not bring an end to my amatory adventures. In that time, I have become adept at bringing myself to the peak of sexual delight, over and over again. Indeed, as I lay in bed this morning, the prospect of this meeting with you caused me to pleasure myself into breathless ecstasy. Several times. It was most exhilarating. So, in order to provide an outlet for your sexual needs, which does not involve unseemly encounters with the servants, I have taken it upon myself, with your mother's blessing, of course, to be your guide on a journey. A journey full of thrilling sensations, ending in a climax of intense delight. But before we begin, certain preparations are needed. Our most pressing requirement is that your virile member should be released from the confines of your riding breeches. Please unbutton yourself and pull them down. No, no, you do not need to remove them entirely. Good. Very good. You already have a very impressive erection. A most gratifying sight, which bodes well for the successful completion of our task. In addition, we require some lubrication. Hold out your hand and let me pour a little of this olive oil into your palm. You are right-handed, are you not? And now gently rub the oil into your penis so that it is rendered smooth and slippery. Like so. Do you mark that pearly drop of clear liquid at the tip of your manhood? That indicates that you are highly aroused. Now, I want you to make a tunnel of your thumb and fingers and start to move it up and down your penis. Yes, my dear, you are simulating the sensations of coitus. That's right. Oh, does it feel nice? Oh, my sweet, that little smile suggests that it does. Up and down. And up and down. Very good. And while you're doing that, I shall lay this napkin over your stomach, like so. You will see why this is necessary in due course, though I am sure you have some inkling of what must happen. I expect until now you have only ever experienced such delightful sensations in your sleep. Your mother and I discussed this possibility. We concluded that a male with no sexual outlets in his waking life would be especially prone to the nocturnal emission of his vital fluids at the conclusion of a particularly thrilling dream. Is that the case? Just nod, my dear, if you are finding it difficult to speak. Do you often wake with liquid evidence on your belly and thighs? I thought so. Well, as you will discover soon enough, the exquisite sensations you experience in your dreams can be brought on while you are fully awake. In order to expedite the process, I shall help you to imagine an encounter with Molly, whose charms have been at the forefront of your mind recently. Which of those charms shall we dwell on first? I see. Oh, my dear, there's no need to be shy about your proclivities. A firm, fleshy, female bottom really is the most exquisite plaything. I'm sure you have wondered many a time what a woman's bottom feels like. Or, more specifically, what Molly's bottom feels like. Do it now. Let your fancy take you to those places you have only visited in your most lascivious dreams. Oh, Molly really does have a most splendid bottom, does she not? So full and shapely. Wouldn't it be wonderful if one day she were to bend over the kitchen table, gather her skirts up around her hips, lower her undergarments, and offer up her broad, womanly backside for you to play with? What would you do? Oh, that's it. Stimulate yourself while we imagine the scene. Do you have sufficient lubrication? Good. Good. I warrant that your hands would be itching to take hold of those glorious pale globes. And it is hoped that Molly would not be averse to such a development. Look at that naughty, wanton smile on her face. I do believe she's licking her lips. Frankly, I think she's inviting you to fondle her bottom. So don't delay. Kneel behind her and let your hands roam wherever they wish. Stroke and squeeze her charming bum. Push the cheeks of that deliciously provocative rump tightly together so you can watch the smooth flesh pucker. Now, gently separate them so you can see along that smooth, mysterious furrow. Oh, my dear. Your hand seems to be moving ever more quickly. Is the excitement building? Shall we see what else our naughty cook has in store for us? Well, I'm sure she's enjoying your hands exploring her shapely bottom and thighs. But there's something else she wants you to do. That lovely, round, fleshy bum is like an enormous ripe fruit, is it not? A sweet, ripe fruit, ready for picking, ready for eating. Imagine that. Imagine placing your face between those delicious cheeks and kissing all along that divide. Breathing in her musky, womanly scent. Imagine licking and nuzzling that glorious fleshy peach. Oh, I am sure your tongue and lips would be very active on her little bottom hole too. Oh gosh, that prospect sent a delightful thrill into your stiff member, did it not? I believe the inevitable crisis will soon be reached. Especially when I describe the luxurious sensations you would feel if Molly encouraged you to rub your manhood all over her madly provoking bottom, causing the fleshy posteriors to jiggle so charmingly. And what is she doing now? Can it be that she is reaching around, separating her cheeks with both hands, and inviting you to mount her from behind? Oh, she is! She is! She wants to feel you inside her now. Oh, that's it. Oh, guide your stiff member into Molly's warm, wet cunny. Oh, my dear. Your legs have tensed and your breathing has accelerated. The prospect of fucking Molly has taken you to the very edge of ecstasy, has it not? There is nothing to be gained from delaying further. I want you to abandon yourself to the luxurious sensations that are flooding your stiff member. Oh yes, that's it. Frig yourself faster. Oh, frig yourself while you imagine fucking into Molly. Can you see her delightful derriere jiggling? Can you hear the slap of flesh on flesh and Molly's moans as she too approaches the pinnacle of sensual pleasure? Oh, nothing else matters, my dear. Nothing matters in the world apart from my voice and the voluptuous images my words have conjured up. Oh, you're about to come, are you not? Can you feel it? Is it nice? Is it the nicest, most delicious feeling you've ever had? So much more intense than the somewhat attenuated pleasures of a dream emission. That's it, that's it. Keep rubbing. Pay particular attention to the head and that sweet spot where the head joins the shaft. I shall take your free hand in mine, and we shall intertwine our fingers. Hold my hand tightly as you experience the blissful release of orgasm. Yes, yes, that's it. Oh, my darling, those convulsive moments and little cries indicate that your pleasure has reached a most exquisite summit. Yes, yes, here it comes, here it comes. Oh, good boy, oh, yes. Look at all those lovely squirts all over the napkin. Oh, and more squirts and spurts. A veritable fountain of rapture. Oh, well done, well done. I am so proud of you. Oh, now just lie back a little and rest. Do not concern yourself with the napkin. We shall deal with the evidence of your release in due course. Take a little time to recover. Oh, my dear, that really was most splendid fun, was it not? I do hope it is an activity which you will pursue regularly when you are by yourself. It will help to raise your spirits and place your worries and concerns into perspective. And, if you wish, I am sure your mother will allow us additional time together. There is so much more I can teach you about the incomparable pleasures of the flesh. Now, will you take another cup of tea?